15 years ago, the Gits were a Seattle band on the verge of signing with a major label. They were going to be big. And then lead singer Mia Zapata was raped and murdered. Now, a new documentary about the band is getting attention. Critic Sarah Bardeen reports on the film and its very unexpected ending.
In a documentary, the filmmaker's job is to make you fall in love with the subject. Kerry O'Kane's new film, The Gits, does its job, and then some. Working with sparse footage from the 1980s and 90s, O'Kane still manages to make us fall head over heels for the ragtag bunch of Antioch College-educated misfits, better known as The Gits. Primarily, we fall in love with Mia Zapata, a singer who sounds like a punk rock Janis Joplin, both in her soulful voice and her ardent personality, which mixed brashness, kindness, and vulnerability in equal parts. Zapata never became a bona fide star, but she had star quality, the ability to command attention without ever seeming to seek it.
When I woke up today, it was dizzy in my brain. It's not that I like to feel this way. The wagon's shaking and I feel it start to tilt.
What I know of my daughter, she was very quiet, very reserved, ultra, ultra shy, the last person in the world who would call attention to herself. And yet, put a microphone in her hand, march her up on a stage, and she was just magnetic.
Above all, we fall for the music. Compared to many of their contemporaries, the Gits were instrumentally brilliant, playing fast, tight, classic punk rock, which took a radical left turn when Zapata added her voice to the mix. In 1993, the group was on the verge of signing with Atlantic Records. They'd just come off a successful European tour, and many were touting the group as Seattle's next big thing. One night, in July of 1993, while walking home from a Seattle bar, Zapata was raped and murdered. She was 27 years old.
Zapata's body was found early Wednesday morning on a remote street in the Central District. Zapata had been strangled. Police are investigating, but so far they have no suspects or motives.
The documentary would have ended on this note, but as O'Kane was finishing the film in 2003, events took a dramatic turn. Police found a convicted felon whose DNA matched the murderer's DNA that was found on Zapata's body. In the courtroom scenes, there was little rejoicing over the conviction. Zapata's family and friends weren't seeking vengeance. In the end, they simply wanted justice.
There are these things that I want the most, but they usually one step furthest from my reach. Oh, but they are.
The Gits takes us on an emotional roller coaster ride. For the band members, their time with Zapata was the most heady and creative time of their lives. Their friends and colleagues, 7-Year Bitch, even named an album after the singer. They called it Viva Zapata. And 15 years after her death, thanks in no small part to this documentary, it seems that the legacy of Mia Zapata and the Gits will indeed live on.
Sarah Bardeen is a music critic living in San Francisco.
Me to keep these dreams. The song gets in my mind. Cause when it cracks, it just gets deeper, baby. Yeah. And I'm one of those that touch you. You're the furthest from me, yeah. How long it's gonna take. But I'm gonna get me.
And there's more to come on Day to Day.
Now a story about reggaeton and challenging stereotypes. Reggaeton is a blend of hip-hop, reggae, and Latin rhythms that, like some rap music, has been criticized as violent and misogynistic. But some performers are winning praise for celebrating their African heritage. Enrique Rivera reports on one musician who's trying to bring social and cultural consciousness to reggaeton.
Tego Calderon has shattered reggaeton stereotypes. Through an assortment of Afro-Caribbean rhythms and sharp social commentary, the rapper has transformed the way many young people see themselves.
I started to do music for my black people, so that blacks can feel proud of being black.
I want to stay black because this color is beautiful. That's something rarely heard in Latin America, a region with a long history of racial denial. Roland Roebuck is an Afro-Latino activist in Washington, D.C.
The definition of race in the United States is very different from the definition of race in Central and South America. In our respective countries, there is this notion that we are not black. We are a nationality.
As an example, Roebuck talked about a recent trip to the Dominican Republic.
And I saw an individual, he was sort of a policeman of my complexion, black. And I asked him, why are you holding that stick? And this area is called the Jabón, which is near the border with Haiti. And he said, this is to beat the black Haitians. This is to beat the black people. So I said to him, well, you should take that stick and you should start beating yourself because you're black. And he said, no, I'm not black. I am Dominicano.
While that attitude is common among Afro-Latinos, Tego Calderon says he was lucky.
Sí, no, yo gracias a Dios, pues mis papás son gente que son pro-negro.
Yeah, thank God my parents are people that are pro-black and are also for the independence of Puerto Rico. I grew up in a house that is very different than others, and I don't blame people that feel the way they do because they have been sold this. This has been passed down from generation to generation.
To pass a new message to his generation, Calderon often shouts out Africa in his songs. Today, it seems like Latinos are embracing this side of their heritage, says Zeta Rivera, former editor-in-chief of Urban Latino magazine. She's now a columnist for the magazine and website, Diversity Inc.
The funny thing about it is that I think music has such a big part in it, like Tego Calderon. A lot of people didn't even know that Puerto Ricans look like Tego do. And when he's there, he's so prideful of that. He's so prideful to say, soy negro. If you really listen to his lyrics, he has such political messages. He talks about culture. He talks about us bringing everything together, not always being at odds with each other, but at the same time, he still got his fro, he still got his dark skin, and he finds beauty in all of that.
But activist Roland Roebuck says music is one of the few places where you do see this type of representation.
Afro-descendants or Afro-Latinos are given space in three main areas: music, entertainment, and sports. But if you try to identify Afro-descendants or Afro-Latinos in the areas of commerce or the judicial system, institution of higher learning, you will find a serious, serious absence.
Latinos that have African features were tired of not being able to claim their pride and to claim their roots. And, you know, we're tired of being told they weren't as Latino as everybody else because they looked African.
Besides being a rapper and a singer, the New Yorican performer, who goes by the name La Bruja, is also an actress and a poet. Her most popular poem is called I Too Am Black.
Although you may find me fair, with medium brown eyes and not too curly hair, of mixed heritage, too many to name. One thing was the same, we've all shared despair. Believe it or not, in fact, I too am black.
Tego Calderon says he strongly admires many African-American leaders, so much so that he even named his son Malcolm X. He said that Afro-Latinos need to learn a lot from the African-American community in the United States.
Pero esto es una lucha. Yo creo que hace falta que por lo menos en Puerto Rico nos unamos.
This is a struggle. I think that at least in Puerto Rico, black people need to get together and demand our rights, just like Martin Luther King and the NAACP did. Because if you don't demand your rights, nothing happens. So I think it is time that we tell the politicians that we are a force, that we are many, and that we need to be given our place in society, and that we demand our respect.
With multi-platinum sales, Tego Calderon has certainly earned the respect of the marketplace. And with popularity comes attention, and with attention comes the possibility of change. For NPR News, I'm Enrique Rivera.
Salpica, salpica, dale pa allá. Se acabó la salsa monga. Changuería en pote.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.